The time of miracles is now. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with our instant inspiration. The time of miracles is now. Interesting. I went in town today to the vacuum cleaner people, to the hearing aid people, to everybody, and everywhere I went, people wanted to give me an illustration of a miracle. But of course, they gave me the illustration only because I reminded them of the possibility. Although the one woman said, I want to tell you a miracle. I want to tell you a miracle. And hers was a short miracle, but a good miracle. It was about her brother and sister, apparently, who were not getting along for a few days. And it upset the whole family. And so, as a last ditch, she went to her mother, and she said to her mother, now these are adults. These are senior adults who have their own families and everything. But she went to her mother and she said, Mother, I'm praying that they get together and are harmonious. And that morning or evening, the couple came into the awareness of the family, and they were all lovey-dovey. And that evening, everything was in balance. And the lady was so delighted, so thrilled. What a wonderful miracle. Here they were all at teeth and nails with each other and not getting along at all very well. And now, boom! In one fell swoop, they're back together, harmonious. And that went on for several days. And perhaps it's over now, the problem. And I had mentioned that, I mentioned then, that my sister and my brother were at odds for about 50, 40 years, and that I went up to visit both of them. And in the process, I visited my brother first and then my sister. And he had gardens filled with roses, and I said, can I take some of those to his sister? And he says, sure. And I did that for 2 or 3 weeks, maybe longer. And then 1 week, I said, can I take some roses up to Maine? He says, sure, tell her that I sent them. And I thought, wow, that's a breakthrough. That's wonderful, fantastic. So when I got to her house, I told May, I said, Ray sent these to you. You know, I was going to bring them up. And he says, tell her I sent them. And she says, oh, I could eat him up, I could kiss him. I said, just a minute. So I took the phone, dialed Ray, and had her tell him that right away. And a week or so later, there was a family reunion at her house where everybody was present. Everybody. And it was such a great and wonderful experience because a short time later, she died. But we had no idea. She was living and she was puddling along as she had been for years, but she died. A great experience. We never know why this reunion is happening, why these take place, why these miracles happen. And my one sister says, Herb, you're so wonderful. I said, I just happen to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. I said, the miracle is always there. It just needed to be ignited. And it was ignited by the roses that he sent. And that's beautiful. Now, I went to the hearing aid people, and I mentioned it to the lady there, and she says, oh yes, she says, my brother was that way with the family. He was sort of an outcast for 40 years, and we lived in Iowa. And then he married a woman that none of us appreciated. So here he wasn't liked very much, and then the woman he married wasn't liked very much, and they moved to Seattle, Washington, from Iowa, and they were there for 40 years, you know, and not too much response between the family. But the younger sister, Ann said, the younger sister named Marie, same as my sister Marie, was out traveling around, and she thought, well, I'll just cruise up by Seattle there. And so she did, and she pulled into the little town where he was living, And she went to the corner and called him on the phone from the drugstore. And, well, how are you doing? You know, she was the one that everyone could tolerate. And she says, wonderful, how are you doing? She says, wonderful. He says, I never hear from you. She says, well, here I am. He says, where are you? Well, I'm down the street in the drugstore from your house, you know. And he said, wow, you know. And like that, 40 years crushed, crashed, finished, ended. And a new life began, a miracle. But we say, oh, that's just human nature. That's just a change in attitude and so forth. True. But what changed the attitude was the love of the sister, was the love of those involved. Somehow, love got in there and made everything all right and made everything all good and beautiful. And that's kind of wonderful. But where are you going to have your next miracle? Where are you going to have your next miracle? I give you opportunities to have miracles here at the ranch all the time. Unfortunately, you haven't always taken advantage of them. And one of the miracles is in following dumb orders, following dumb rules. And I give you, the dumber the rules, the better, because it makes them more difficult to follow. If there were logical rules and important rules, you'd say, of course, I understand that. And one of the rules that I have and have had for years and years, because I give talks like this around the dinner table and the breakfast table and the supper table, and I say, every time we have a talk, before the talk begins, you round up the children and put them in the bathroom. And that's our two little puppies. You round them up and put them in the bathroom. Now, they're not bad. Most of the time, they're quiet. Most of the time, they wouldn't be bothersome at all. In fact, that makes it very hard to put them in the bathroom. Now, when you put them in the bathroom, they don't give a darn. They just lay down and take a nap. And when you open the door, they stand up and stretch and say, is your talk all over with now? Can I come out? You know, they don't feel bad. They don't feel they're punished because they're not being punished. They're merely being put into the bathroom so that they won't disturb anybody while we're giving the talk, especially on the disc or on the tape or what have you. And I've been doing this for years. But we forget. We forget. And when we forget, we lose the miracle. The miracle is when we learn to do things lovingly and just lovingly, I guess, without thought of doing it. We just do it because it's a natural thing to do. Now, I have said at the mealtime, whatever food you have cooked, if it's in abundance to what we have to eat, put it on the table. If someone wants to eat it, they can eat it. If you don't want to cook in abundance, cook in portions and cook just enough and don't have any leftovers, you know, don't have anything left over. But what the hell difference does it make? Really, what difference does it make if we put the leftover food on the table or if we don't? If we put it in the trash or if we don't? What difference does it make? See, that's the thing. It's a stupid rule. It is not really terribly important. The world's not going to turn on its orbit because you don't do it or do it. But you are going to turn on your orbit. You are going to have a new attitude about yourself because you just follow the program. Now, in operating an organization like this, we have either two things that we do. One, we put out a professional organization that is providing people around the world with beautiful books and beautiful courses and a beautiful program that changes their life. Or we do something else. We be ourselves and have fun. Now, while you're being yourself and having fun, you can run the organization too. But the organization doesn't run very well if you are rebellious while you're being yourself. If while you're being yourself, you think, I don't have to do that. That's her job. That's his job. That's their job. That's not my business, and I'm not going to do this here. And I don't touch that, and I don't touch this because that's not mine. Go home, you know. Go back to heaven, you know. Die. The sooner the better. Because you're not being yourself and having fun. Because being yourself and having fun is to be loving, is to be joyous, is to be enjoying every single moment of your life without one little bit of judgment and being possessed and being touched and so forth. One little moment. Because that is unimportant. That is unimportant. Whenever you're touchable, somebody can get to you. See, whenever you're possessed by something, someone can take it away from you and make you feel very bad. Whenever you judge somebody, somebody's sure enough going to judge you and even judge you worse than you judge them. Not because they're mean at you, but because it's just human nature. And human nature always looks for a way of backing themselves up. Human nature always looks for a way of ignoring the miracles. Human nature doesn't really want miracles to happen. Oh, that's too good to be true. Oh, my goodness sakes, can't believe it. I can't believe it. Grandma is whole and perfect again. She was dying. Now she's whole and perfect. My goodness, I can't believe it. My goodness, that's being yourself and having fun. Being yourself and having fun is saying, Grandma's whole and perfect, super, she's back to normal again. How wonderful. You know what I mean? But our human side says it's unbelievable. Now, what does the divine side say? The divine side says everything is believable. Everything is possible. Go for it. The divine side says the world is so filled with miracles that you won't open your eyes to because you like playing human. You like to be human. You like to be touched. You like to be possessed. You like to be judged. And you do so much judging yourself that I don't know how you can ever hear anybody else judging you. But it's a silly thing. But the miracles are all there. They're all there just waiting to burst like flowers in the garden on a lovely spring day, or to go down to the desert in the spring when the rain has just covered the desert with water, and then the sun comes out and every little seed in the ground bursts forth in colorful array, each little miracle waiting to shout hello to the day. And then in a day or two it's all gone, as though it were never there. And the growth of the plants that had been above the soil blows away, and all is sand, and you think, surely nothing alive is there. But put a little water on it, put a little moisture on it, and poop, 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 up they come. What miracles. What miracles of life. Now, we all have been given opportunities to be great, to be wonderful, to be beautiful, to walk our path and to be illumined. But if we sit in judgment of one another, especially ourselves, our illumination will never shine forth, because we are what Jesus said not to do. You should not go into the house and light your candle and put a bushel over it, put a basket over it to hide the flame from your neighbor because you have aught against him. Because you can't see with the light either. You have to cut a hole in the basket to see the light, and you're not going to go cutting a hole in your basket because you need your basket to carry things in. The grain would go pouring out the hole. That wouldn't be very smart, would it? But you see, whenever there's anything contrary to the divine program, to the divine love, to the divine joy, to the divine miracles that are flowing, flooding, bursting forth all around us, you can't see them. You can't see these miracles because you don't like yourself and you're not having fun. But little children who like themselves and have fun, they see miracles all the time. and they don't even tell the adults about them after the adults once say, I can't see that. Because then they recognize that the adults can't see something they can see. And why put the wet blanket on something when they know it's true? Just because they wanted to involve their mommy, their daddy, their friends in with the miracles that they can see. And because the parents and the elders cannot see that. Why is it that old people, grandmas and grandpas, for instance, get along with the grandchildren so well? Well, the grandmas and grandpas have come to the realization that their time of training the children to be something is really not important. They have come to a time in their life of realizing that it's not what the children do outwardly that makes a big difference in their life. It's what the children do inwardly. And so they're training the children to like themselves, to have a good time, to have fun together, to be joyous in each other's company, to just sort of revel in each other's sparkle of love, in the miracle of love. Those are the grandmothers and the grandfathers that the children love. Now, why can't we be grandmothers and grandfathers when we are young adults? When we are starting to raise our own family? Why can't we be grandmas and grandpas while we're raising our own families? Some people are, you know. Some people are so beautiful, they just understand the children because they are not worried about what that child is going to be when they grow up. They're not concerned. They teach the child their values in love. They teach the child their way of thinking and their way of living and their way of doing things. I would do it this way because I think it's fun. And the kid says, okay, Gramps, let's try that. Yeah. You do it this way because that's right. And if you don't do it this way, I'm not going to play with you this afternoon. Well, the kid will say, don't get so fancy, Dancy. You know, I'll go play with my friends. They don't make demands on me like that. And do we do that? Do adults do that? Yeah. Now, why is it adults do that? Adults do that because of one reason. They feel insecure. They feel that they have not reached their pinnacle of the human pathway, the human way. They haven't reached the pinnacle. Now, if they haven't reached the pinnacle, they want their children to do it. They want their children to be the doctors or lawyers and things that they haven't been. They want their children to be the educated people that they hadn't been. You know all about that. Of course, we're coming past that a little bit. But what about having the children be the happy person you never were, the fulfilled person you never were, the person who looked at the sunshine and said, isn't God wonderful? And I am God. I created that sun. I created the joy of the morning. Let's go out and run barefoot in the morning dew, damp grass, and let our feet feel all the precious moisture that has been given from the morning air. Let us run in the sunshine. Let's dance in the fields, like our movie has the young man running in the field with his young girlfriend, flying, having a great time, just being alive. They know what that is because none of them have any demands on them yet. The girl was about to have demands put on her to be a society lady, but the boy never had any demands put on him because he was to be eternally 17. That's much like my son, Mark. He's eternally 17. He turns 50 November 1st, but he's eternally 17. And is he really 50? Not at all. Will he ever be more than 17? Not at all. Why? Because he thinks that life is for having fun. Life is to enjoy. Life has no responsibilities except to do what your heart tells you to do, to flow with your heart, to flow with your life. He made lots of heavy decisions in his life, but he didn't make them with anger. His first wife didn't want to go with him on his airplane building program that he was so impressed by. And so he says, okay, you stay, I'll go. And he went. And his world is just fantastic. Now, is your world fantastic? Are you being yourself and having fun? Are you finding the bright side of everything? Now, answer me this in just a short phrase. What does it mean, finding the world on the bright side? And what that means is finding the divine. Because divine right action is the bright side. Divine right action is being yourself and having fun. Divine right action is having everything work out harmoniously for you. Divine right action is the miracle of life. And isn't that what we're interested in? The time of miracles is now. So, as I tell you these things, don't fight me. Kick me out, but don't fight me. Follow these programs because they're designed to help you be yourself and have fun. They're designed to let you be untouched, unpossessed, non-judgmental. And you get angry at me, which is perfectly okay. You get angry at me and you want to say, oh, why are you doing this to me? You know, why are you picking on me all the time? Why are you doing this to me? Well, because you're worth it. If you weren't worth being picked on, I wouldn't waste the time. Really. Because you are not redeemable. You are illuminable. And as soon as that inner light goes on, wow, what's going to happen to your world? It's already happened in little starts and stops as you went along up to now. But let's have it be a continual thing going on every minute of your life. Be yourself and have fun. Live in a state of miracles, in a state of wisdom, in a state of joy, in a state of harmony, in a state of peace. Be yourself. Be that glorious self who you are. You see, you can do many things at once. I looked at the Olympus recorder in my hand, and it said we've had 22 minutes here, and I could continue talking about walking your wonderful path, living your miracles, and I can know the candle is burning here. I can know that each of you are sitting around the table, eager to press the button to turn off the tape recorder so you can go on and do something else. And I know all these things are going on. I know they're going on. It's not bad, but it's just part of the world. And it can be very distressing if you think that people are only interested in what you have during the right time. In other words, we have a schedule. It says from 6:45 to 7:30, Herb gives an instant inspiration. That's the 45-minute inspiration. That's pretty good. And that's very interesting, isn't it? So I won't give you a 45-minute inspiration. I will give you a 23-minute inspiration and tell you that I love you very much. And I see you bubbling your miracles right now.